live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
744, continuing the extended conversation here of fostering to adoption. You know, there's 18,000 kids in Illinois that need homes, need love. We all need to step up. Like Dr. Jill C. Glick, dedicated physician, respected child advocate. Back in 1993, she started the University of Chicago Medicine Comer Children's Hospital Child Advocacy and Protective Services Team. That's the CAPS team. She has a statewide network of doctors and child abuse experts focused on identifying and eradicating child abuse, and has been a recipient of numerous awards for her work. The question is, where do we go from here? Where do we go to take the tragedy of little AJ and really inspire people to do more? And maybe even take this to a legislative end. Dr. Glick, how are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
I am fine. I appreciate you coming on.
Certainly not a problem.
Now, I believe with all my heart that the majority of people at DCFS get up every morning, go to work, understaffed, under-resourced, and bust their behinds to do the right thing. But there's holes in the system, right?
I agree 100% that I've been working with DCFS investigators for almost 30 years, and all of them are, for the most part, very dedicated and work very hard, and as you said, with minimal resources. But there are gaping holes in our societal response to reports of children with suspected abuse. There's a great need for DCFS to incorporate the necessary expertise to discern which kids, when reported DCFS, are truly abused, and which kids, for instance, with injuries, are accidental. And there's this whole area of science that is child abuse medicine that really could be imported to help DCFS workers make these decisions. There's not many of us in the state, but we're all working very hard to see as many kids and evaluate these children, but we're working in silos. And what really needs to happen, and I believe legislatively, is to mandate that there be medical expertise for kids reported with serious harms.
So when a child goes into an emergency room, and I've seen this happen, where a child might have a broken arm or bruises, right, or things that are of kind of an undetermined nature, doctors are required to ask certain questions, are they not, about how the child was injured?
Well, there's two components to that, sir. One, doctors are there and medical providers are there to treat the injury. So they're going to ask questions that normally help them figure out how to treat an injury. You know, when did it happen? Where did it occur? So you have an idea of mechanism. Then you know what you're looking for. And then you know how to treat it. And then there's the second level, which is, do I need to worry that this child's injury was not really due to an accident, but really put this kid at harm? Was this a negligent injury? Was this a, you know, an injury that was inflicted? And so doctors aren't mandated to ask those questions, but they're mandated to think about it, meaning, if a doctor is concerned or a medical provider is concerned that a child's injuries might have been due to abuse, they're required to report. And remember, that if they're concerned, it doesn't mean they know. And most doctors don't know when they're reporting. They're just saying, hey, I'm really worried, you know, based upon my training and experience, that this two-month-old with a broken leg, you know, could be due to abuse, and I need to make sure this kid's safe. And that's what most doctors do.
And that's, I'm glad you brought this up, because I was under the assumption, and maybe it's the TV or TV movie assumption, that doctors were required to pick up the phone, call the police, and have the police investigate. And the reason I go down this road is because when a child is taken by DCFS for all the appropriate reasons but needs medical care, I thought, well, logically that would be the process. But you're going through this system now and telling us this is why we need legislation to make sure it is?
Well, what's supposed to happen, and there's the child reporting laws that all mandated reporters, and in Illinois, we have a very generous list. You know, for the most part, teachers, doctors, EMS, yeah, police, all required to make that report. But the next big question is, okay, and this is how I got into this business. I'm an ER physician at the University of Chicago in a trauma center. Kid comes in with an injury, okay? And I scratch my head and go, wow, you know, four-month-olds don't crawl. You know, how did this baby break its leg? And mom said the child fell off the bed. I know from my training that that's an unusual injury. That's rare. You know, we always say you have to cruise to bruise. So, you know, you're worried, you know, is this really the truth? And I don't know that. So I call up DCFS because I'm a mandate reporter. And DCFS then has a whole structured response to investigate this case. And then DCFS, part of the responsibility, a mandated responder from DCFS will call me, come to see me and say, hey, doc, has this child been abused or is this an accident? And I go, I have no clue. I mean, that's why I called you. I am worried based upon the age of the child and the injury, you know, and forget, I'm not even mentioning anything about socioeconomic status.
Yeah,
I'm talking about an injury and a child and risk. And then DCFS would say to me, you know, Doc, you're it. You're my expert. You are the medical person. And that's what opened my eyes back in the late 1980s. And many doctors treating these kids saying, we need medical expertise. So we need a system in place where we import the medical knowledge, forensic knowledge that only police officers have, and child welfare, which is safety, and pull these people together to real-time investigate this so we can answer that question. Because parents don't come in, or a caretaker doesn't come into my ER and say, chief complaint, I just beat up my kid, you know, or I grabbed my baby. No, we don't. And, you know, I mean, some rarely do they, but they come in and, you know, being on the parents, understanding parents, they're, when kids are abused, and I'm not going to go into why people do that right now. It's a different discussion. But there's a panic. There's a response. And parents come in and don't really necessarily have an explanation. Or it's not like TV where they've already figured out a whole story. You know, they come in, and that's the moment when you have to ask these histories that are biomechanically directed by those who understand these injuries. And share notes, because over time, people, histories change. Because when you're making up a story, you can't, we all been there. We all know that you can't recreate a lie. And so therefore, because of knowing this, this is why I started the MPEAK program in Chicago, which was to bring police, DCFS, and physicians trained in this area to work together so we could discern as best as we could what happened to a child, reducing errors, because we don't want to remove kids unnecessarily or advise that or see that happen. And we surely, you know, want kids not to be put back in harm's way. And the biggest fallacy is to assume, and this is the problem, that there's this major assumption that every doctor knows how to do this. And that's not true. That ER doctor is there to document the injuries really well, take pictures, ask questions like, when did this happen? Tell me about what happened to your child. Document that meticulously, call DCFS, and then activate a system that now can, in fact, go in, collect all that data, and not rely on that treating physician to answer that question.
Because it's two steps, right? It's two steps. One is the criminality of this, but more importantly is you don't want to return a child to an abusive home.
Correct. And we don't want to remove a child from a loving home.
Right.
And a lot of mistakes are made. And that's why doctors like myself, over the last, I guess now, 30 years, even before that, the literature in pediatrics was looking at this. In fact, it was pediatricians that pushed for the national reporting laws and CAPTA, you know, the Treatment Act, to make sure that there is a response. I mean, my pediatrician, back in the 60s, what did he do? If he saw a kid who was abused, I mean, he worked with the family, and he didn't have DCFS. And we might call the police. That's unlikely. But that's why this is so important, to make the system work and work well.
So what do we do? How do we push this legislatively?
Well, I think there's two steps. I think very strongly, because I've been working through at least 10 or 12 regimes of DCFS administrators, there needs to be, and this is quoting Jess McDonald, a great mentor of mine who was the director when I first started doing this work at DCFS, safety needs to come first. We need to have a very well-orchestrated front-end investigation, accountability from investigator all the way to director. It needs to be one division with specialization, because this is specialized stuff to understand medically, you know. And the person, the DCFS worker who's investigating, you know, a very different allegation, you know, such as a, you know, child who's people worried are not being fed or has a dirty home and that kind of thing, is very different than a child who comes in with brain injury.
Sure.
That is right. So A, there needs to be specialization. B, there needs to be importing medical expertise, and we need to legislate that there be child abuse regional centers, and there need to be child abuse pediatricians educating people in community so that, in fact, we're doing good medicine, so the workups are correct in that community, and so that DCFS is working with these experts so they're not guessing and relying on that poor ER doctor who saw AJ.
No, there's got to be a template. There's got to be a template, right? That's followed step by step by step. So do you have anyone in Springfield that's working on this?
There's a lot of, well, there's people I've reached out to. And
but the short answer, because we know how slow politics is
right,
there's not specific white paper or legislation created yet. So you need to, so
correct,
here's the answer to the people listening right now, is you need to say to your elected reps, I want this to be a priority. I want to eliminate this AJ, this world in which something like AJ's life could be ended this way. And what are you going to do to do it?
Right. I mean, I think the average person recognizes that if you go see a doctor and you have chest pain, you don't want to be seeing a pediatrician, right? You want to be seeing a cardiologist.
You want a specialist.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying is the only way we're going to get this legislated is to get a politician on it with the same passion that you have for it. And
I agree. Yes. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm reaching out to people who have been so proactive, Julie Morrison, Sarah Fagenholtz, Robin Gable. And this is nothing new. This has been brought over and over again. And my biggest, I have to tell you, lessons learned as you get to be an older doc like me, and, you know, definition of insanity in some ways is, you know, doing the same thing over and over. DCFS is a culture that has changed so much because of different directors and no institutional memory. They're starting over every time.
Mm-hmm.
Me and others going to DCFS saying, you need this, is a learning curve. You know, there's no institutional memory.
Well, that's what that goes to the governor. That goes to the governor, and that goes to the mayor as well. That goes to county executives. The entire system has to have a consistency of leadership and create an organization where people want to stay in those positions because they're getting the resources to run them. All right, we're going to need you back, Dr. Clark, because we're way short on time here.
But it was a pleasure talking to you. You know, I'll talk about my shop anytime.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm very, very impressed with what you're doing and what you're trying to get done, and we need everybody listening to help and to say to the people that you're going to vote for and that want your vote, what are you going to do to avoid the problems that led to AJ's situation? What are you going to do legislatively? And they can't just go, well, we don't know. Tough problem. We don't know.